Joining us now in studio is Northfield Hospital CEO, Steve Underdahl.
Good morning.
Well, let's start off by saying you're not the Steve Underdahl running for county commissioner, and I'm not the Jeff Johnson running for governor. So
I think we've covered that. I often tell people that I know there's another Steve Underdahl in the other part of the county who's apparently a tall, good-looking guy, and I'm the other one. So
well, thank you so much for coming in joining us on a Thursday morning. Let's get last time we were talking to you, I want to get a couple of updates to start things off. Last time we talked to you, the spring was the legislative session was in full swing at that time. Now it's over. The dust has settled a little bit. It seems like they didn't do a lot more than they did, but as far as health care, things that you were concerned about, did they take any actions this year?
They did. They took more, and I think you characterized it pretty well. They took more inaction probably than action. So there was a couple of disappointing things. One was we had really hoped there was going to be something a little more substantive in terms of opiate addiction and opiate care funding that was going to come out of this legislative session, and there was legislation proposed. It ended up being in a supplemental omnibus spending bill that the governor vetoed, and I don't think the governor vetoed it because of the opiate components, but mm-hmm. because it was a huge, it was like 900 pages, and you know how those things are. They're intended to have the good and the controversial in the bucket together so that they have a chance to pass, and, mm-hmm. and they were vetoed. So that's a little disappointing just because this is such a, you know, just catastrophically difficult issue that's affecting the whole state, it's affecting the whole country, but it is one of those things we're hoping this gets a little more attention the next time. There's a bill that people might be interested in that passed around pricing transparency. And, you know, I think you and I have talked about this before, that as people move into different kinds of insurance where the first several thousand dollars comes out of their own pocket as opposed to, you know, a few years ago when it didn't, people are much more focused on what's it cost. And when they say cost, they really mean what's the price. And when they mean what's the price, they mean what's the price for me. And that's unfortunately, that's kind of a complicated question because it depends on what insurance you have and what version of that insurance you have. And so we have people that spend a lot of time. But this new legislation requires, and I think this is a good thing, frankly, because I think it gives some exposure to the whole issues related to what healthcare costs. It requires a good faith estimate within 10 business days. So when people say, I want an estimate about what this episode of care is going to cost. There's also some relief for medical centers to relative to contracting. So we can't be restricted from one of our payers for saying you can't divulge what we pay you. So it gives us a little bit of relief from prohibitions from health insurance companies that say you can't talk about our proprietary arrangements with you. And then there'll also be some requirement that the top 25 most frequently billed services in primary care clinics will be available and posted so that people can see what those are. So, again, mm-hmm. as people do more and more shopping and try to understand, you know, what is this? What's the check I'm going to have to write here? I think these things are frankly helpful. I think it exposes how difficult pricing is in healthcare. I mean, one of the things I always talk about is stuff costs more at a hospital because we're open on Christmas in case your mom has a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've got ambulances doing nothing until the moment you need them. It's different than offering putting an MRI unit in a shopping mall and everybody goes home at 5. So the economic models are a little bit different. So the other piece of legislation that didn't pass, but it's an interesting discussion, is that Minnesota is one of two states that has a higher level of privacy laws associated with medical information than the whole rest of the country. So there's the HIPAA laws that people kind of hear about or at least know about a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In Minnesota, there's a higher standard. So there's a very strong privacy constituency that really feels strongly about this. On the other hand, we get a lot of pushback from our patients and customers saying, how come I have to sign the same form that I've already signed six times that allows you to share my pertinent information with the folks that are taking care of me down the road because you've referred me, and the hassle factor. So we're actually hoping that this gets another run in the legislature at some point to try to normalize this across the United States. Again, as we become more integrated in our health care, this is probably something that needs to happen.
And as we get more, you know, we've got national health care plans and such in place now. I mean, the government's changed quite a bit in recent years, but there still is so much that is state-controlled. It seems like the majority of the health care initiatives really go from kind of state to state. Is that more problematic? Is that, do you think that's ever going to be more standardized?
Yeah, I think the push and pull between what happens at a state level, and even to some degree what can happen locally, and what happens at a national level, I think will continue to be kind of in play for the next several years. So without getting too techie about it, the states generally are responsible for the Medicaid program. But mm-hmm. most of the funding for Medicaid, or a lot of the funding for Medicaid, comes from the federal government. And so there are always these synergistic relationships between state and federal, and it tends to create a very complicated and, in the best world, you combine the efforts of all of these units of government. In the worst world, you have them playing not it.
and you get both of those.
Right, you do get both of those.
All right, once again, Steve Underdahl is with us, the Northfield Hospital CEO. You had mentioned one thing I want to touch on just a little bit more, and that is nothing really happened as far as the opiate addiction goes, due to the governor vetoing that huge bill. Boy, how much of that is that? It seems like at times that is really getting worse, and maybe it's because of some of the fentanyl, carfentanil, and stuff that's being involved with that. Are you seeing more than you did a few years ago, 5, 10 years ago?
It's, well, certainly more than 5 or 10 years ago. I mean, mm-hmm. this is kind of crescendoed across the country. I think we're actually going to probably see this start to get a little bit better, mostly based on changing of prescribing practices, both by physicians and dentists, over time. But that's going to mm-hmm. take a while. There's a population that's already in trouble. When I talk to our ER physicians, as an example, about this, they say it is just a steady flow. That mm-hmm. it isn't remarkably worse than it was 3 months ago, but it is really consistent. So the idea that in a relatively small community hospital, we're mm-hmm. seeing folks in trouble with opiate drugs and synthetic opiate drugs almost every day. And so not all of these are super dramatic. They're not all overdoses where somebody's on the brink of death, but mm-hmm. but it's a factor in many emergency room visits. And again, the part of the challenge, and I know you know this from other conversations about this, but it is one of the few drugs that people routinely take that has just the really unfortunate effect of the effective dose or the effect that the patient is trying to get from it, mm-hmm. And the dose that makes you stop breathing can intersect. And so, you know, people can overdose on lots of things and get sick, or, you know, choke on their vomit or do other things that are unfortunate. This is one of those where people literally lay down on the couch and die.
Wow.
So,
boy, very dramatic. Let's move on. Last time we talked to you as well, we are getting ready to open up the Express Care Clinic. It has been open now. Terry and I went to the open house and yeah. saw the facilities, and really I love the facilities and what you've done, and the cooperation that you've had with you know, the folks at Sterling Drug and also Health Finders. Are you getting feedback on that yet?
We are, and it's been great to get it open. Our colleagues at Sterling just did a wonderful job with that campus. So for folks that haven't been in there yet, or even just been able to experience the new drugstore part of it, is really very nice. Yeah, we're getting a lot of nice feedback from folks that have really said, this is really helpful for my family. It's great that it's downtown. It's great that it's available after hours. We just started this last weekend with our weekend hours now, so we're open from 8 to 4 on Saturday and Sundays. And it's very purposefully what we're trying to do is create healthcare options that fit when people actually need them, because there's a certain segment of the population that just, you know, tells us, I'd love to make an appointment for Tuesday at 3 o'clock, but I'm in school or I'm in work and I just can't do that. And so this has been helpful. People have been really complimentary about the service. I give a lot of credit to folks for navigating their way through the construction to get there. I mean, you essentially have to, I think the one way in other than helicopter is, you know, from Water Street to 7th. But the good news is Sterling's got a great parking lot there. So you know, you can find a place to park once you get back there. You don't have to hike up the hill.
Yeah. You know, the timing of that opening is somewhat unfortunate in that there is all that construction going on right now. Are you getting the patient load? Are people going in there like you had anticipated?
They are. You know, we're doing about 10 patients a day. Which, you know, for a brand new program that people in the non-upper respiratory disease season, we were thinking that was kind of what the ramp up would be. We're anticipating that as we get into the fall and early winter, when we get more of that kind of sickness that people would go to an express care for, we'll see that pick up. And by then, hopefully, you know, it makes it a little easier to get there too.
All right. You also have your long care facility. Has won an award again.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it again or still? You're the reigning champions for quite some time now. Very, very high awards.
Yeah, it's very cool. We were recognized as a 5-star long-term care facility by CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and also the U.S. News and World Report has a similar thing where they also look at the 5-star thing that CMS does, and then they have some additional criteria. And so I think we've talked about this before, is that and people in Northfield really I think have an appreciation for this. As a long-term nursing facility goes, this is just a delightful place. It's got a just amazingly good staff, and it's pleasant, and it's just a physically great facility, and it just has this incredible team of people. And so this is several years. I mean, it'd be one thing if we, you know, occasionally out of the blue you get some of this recognition. This is a year-on-year-on-year thing for this nursing home, which is really very, very cool.
Yeah. And one final thing we have. Can we get an update? I don't know how much you're in the loop now with the Benedictines about the facility that they'll be building out there, but I was out recently at the Northfield Hospital, actually just yesterday, and didn't see any construction yet, but
right.
I'm sure it's not too far off.
It's not too far off, and they're just completing the final details, and they're going to get going here very shortly in terms of breaking ground.
All right. Well, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't disrupt your business, disturb your business at all.
No. I mean, anytime you have a big construction project like that, there'll be some hassle factor, but we think in the end the benefit to people and the benefit to the community will certainly be worth it.
All right. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Northfield Hospital CEO, Steve Underdahl.